Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting here. Amen. It's a joy and a privilege to go ahead and continue sharing wilderness food for modern times. This will be number 70. Let's see, there was, I got an email. Our show had moved on. But I want to thank everybody for all the emails and the encouragement that you send. And it's just a blessing. And it is my pleasure to go ahead and you know, as we go ahead and we get the word out. Amen. Mm-hmm. But let's go ahead and point our spirit back to where we were a couple weeks ago. It would be for last month. And we looked at Wilderness Food for Modern Times number 69, and there's 3 points that I would like to quickly look at to get us moving in the right direction again, amen? Yeah. And we were in the wilderness of Zen. And the wilderness of Zen was the most critical and serious of all the wildernesses. Of all of the 8 wildernesses that the children of Israel went through, the wilderness of Zin was the most critical, because that is the place where God wanted to bring them not into a place of glory like at Sinai, but to a place of rededication and consecration, so that they could go left, into the promised land. But they didn't, and so they just kept going to where we are now in the in Moab. And there we see in the wilderness of Zin, rebellion and opportunity walk hand in hand. But they were in rebellion, but also they had the opportunity to go ahead and not be in rebellion. And that is so true in our life today. No matter what we're doing, there is an opportunity for rebellion and an opportunity to do the right thing. You know, the non-rebellion. And so that just kind of parallels our life today. But the children of Israel, as they were leaving the wilderness of Zin, they missed the opportunity. And maintained their rebellion. And they went on into Moab. And we're talking about Moab a little bit tonight. Amen. Also, last time in Wilderness Food for Modern Times, number 69, we talked about spiritual authority a little bit. And we must be careful, and we found out we must be careful when we speak against authority. Because when we're speaking against authority, we're not speaking against the authority. We're not speaking against the boss or the police or the government or whatever. We're not speaking against them, because we are speaking against God. Because God establishes all authority in our life. And we talked about, you know, the different authorities there, amen? Mm-hmm. So we must be very careful. We must measure our word when we speak to authority, because we're really speaking against God. And in the wilderness of Zin, we saw that Moses, time and time again, and all throughout the wilderness journey, the people thought they were talking to Moses. But in reality, they weren't railing at Moses and chiding Moses. They were really railing at God and chiding God. And God is very particular about His Word, and God showed up, and God took care of that time and time again. And the third point we looked at last time we came together, we must not be stuck in the analytical quagmire, but move in obedience. You know, God is really after blind obedience in our part. God really doesn't want to have to tell us why and when and how come and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. That's why God keeps it a mystery. God will keep many things to Himself, and He won't let us know until it's time to know. Because we like to figure things out, and we like to know, or we won't go. But we must not get stuck in that analytical quagmire to move in obedience. God wants us to just, God speaks and we move. That's what He's after. And if it is of Him, then He will take care of things. But one of those guides of the Holy Spirit is, if it works out, it's probably of God. I would say 90%, if things just kind of work out. And that's the way things were, even our trip to Romania and Bulgaria, things have just been working out, this and that, and that's just kind of a leading of God. And if it's of God, then things just want to work out. If it's not working out, then you need to pause. You need to go, wait a minute. Am I sure I'm hearing from God? If not, then we need to go ahead and change. You know, and I use that word if a couple times. You know, if is the most important word in the Bible. A lot of people think, well, it's love and obedience and faith and all that good stuff. That's not one of the most important words, if not the most important word. It's only two letters, if, because if always sets the condition for receiving from God. Let me say that again. If always sets the condition. That's always separates the condition and the blessing. If you do this, then you will get this. If you do this, then you will get this. If you want to, you know, if you want to eat the fat of the land or the best, then you must be willing and obedient. Joshua tells us that. So if is a very, very important word. So if it is of him, then he will take care of the details here. Amen. Three quick points that we looked at, and now we'll go ahead and get into the wilderness of Moab. I tell you, the wilderness of Moab should have nothing to do with our Christian experience. I'm going to say that again. The wilderness of Moab has nothing to do with our Christian experience. However, I would say most Christians today are in Moab. A lot of Christians. There are a lot of Christians that live in Moab. Amen? So Deuteronomy 2:8 here on our notes here, and when we pass by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, through the way of the plain for Ephah, and from Ezer-Gibeah, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. So here is one of those. It's only a couple references that talk about Moab. And so this is one of those references that talks about Moab. It kind of gives you a little picture of where it was. Amen. The wilderness of Moab, avoid it. We must avoid this at all costs in our life, because this should never, ever be a part of the Christian life. The only reference to the wilderness of Moab as such in Deuteronomy 2:8. This is one of the two wildernesses which should be not a part of the Christian life. However, at times, it does touch the Christian's experience. And I would say a lot of Christians, maybe 60-70% of the Christians today, live in the world of Moab. Amen? And of course, we know that Moab was settled by Lot's grandkids, right? Amen? So we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot, his two daughters, and they went out and got Lot drunk, and they had sex with Lot, and, you know, that's kind of, you know, the way of the land of Moab. So these were the descendants, amen? When I see the word Moab, I always think of this bomb that they used in Iraq. It was called Moab. It was known as the mother of all bombs. It was a big bunker-busting bomb, you know? So when I see that word Moab, I don't know, my military mind always goes to that there, but that is not that. This is a land that was an incestuous place, where incest was what populated there. Amen? When the word Moab first occurred in the Bible, is an incestuous relationship. Ab is a word for father, and Mo is a preposition meaning from and attached to Ab. Thus, the translation of Moab is from father. When the elder daughters of Lot gave birth to, you know, her child, which she had conceived by her own father, she named him Moab. And you can see that in Genesis 19:36-37. But no part of Moab's wilderness or whatever was to be a part of Israel's possession. Amen. So let's go ahead and go to the third page. Let's go ahead and look at that map real fast. Amen. So I'll just put this map. And if you look at that map, all the way on the left, you see it says Goshen. It says Goshen. And that's where the children of Israel, they left. And they went down, and the UC, and it goes down the Arabian Peninsula, the desert of Seir, and then it goes down to Sinai at the tip, and then it goes up, and then if you follow the arrows there, remember I was always talking about God wanted them to go left, wanted them to go left, but they didn't. And so they got up to the desert or the wilderness of Zin right there at number 5. And that's where God just wanted to go left and just keep on moving up into the Canaan land. But they didn't. And if you notice right there, they went back. They went through the wilderness of Paran actually twice. And they went down. They went down, you know, out of, Kadesh Bashir and went into, I mentioned that in the text of the, and I'm pronouncing it wrong, Ezion Gader. And you can find that on the map right there. And then number 8, they go up into Moab. Again, Moab is not a place. It's not a place. And ultimately, you know, they keep on going up, and then they cross over the Jordan River at that point where it says Mount Nebo. And it's just on the other side of Mount Nebo that crossed the Jordan River into the Canaan land. But they went a long way to get around to the elbow, that is for sure. Amen. No part of Moab, the wilderness or whatever, looked to be a part of Israel's possessions. Deuteronomy 2:9 says, "And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land." So God told the children of Israel, leave the Moabites alone. This is no possession of yours. There's no possession here. Because I have given Ur unto the children of Lot for a possession. As the children of Israel were to have nothing to do with the territory, so is the Christian to avoid it in a spiritual sense, which is in the first setting, as we said, within that. So we've got to remember that the physical wildernesses, that as we look at those, are also parallel to a spiritual understanding. The physical wildernesses that the children of Israel go through, there is a parallel to a spiritual heart condition. Amen? And this is nothing that God wanted for the people to be. Amen? So with that spiritual heart condition of the children of Israel and or the relationship that God wanted to have with them. So God did not want to have anything for them to do in Moab. And they ended up in Moab because they did not do what they were supposed to do in them. Amen? So too in our lives. Where we find ourselves can affect our heart condition. So the children of Israel, they went into Moab and they went in there from a bad heart. Their heart was bad. Their heart was an incestuous relationship. That's what their heart was, because they were in Moab, and that was the spiritual significance there. They had a bad heart condition, and God had to work that out of them. And so too in our lives, where we find ourselves. Life oftentimes will change our heart. Life will cause us to become bitter. Life will cause all of these things to happen in our life, and we must not allow that to happen. Amen? Now, the second reference, which is Moab, occurs is Genesis 36:35. Now, this is where I like to spend most of my time here. Amen? And Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote a Midian in the field of Moab, resigned in his stead, and the name of the city was Aviv. Amen? We are to have nothing to do with the heart condition of this wilderness. And of course, of the family sex, but more importantly, the lawlessness which God were in representing. Amen? This is a setting of defeat. Notice that, what was going on here in verse 35. This was a setting of defeat. It was a setting of defeat. Midian is smitten in the field of Moab. Defeat is not to be a possession of the believer. Victory is. Defeat is not to be a possession. It is victory is to be the possession of the believer. But so many believers seem to be living defeated in the field of Moab. And that is true. Believer after believer that you talk to, their face is all drawn and they're sad and oh my God, That's not supposed to be the heart condition. That's not supposed to be the understanding and the thinking of the believer. It's not to be defeated because there's no defeat in God. If you're looking for defeat, you can't find it in God because God has never ever been defeated. And if we are in God and we walk with God and we're children of God, then we need to be in God and we need to look for victory and not for defeat. In God is only victory. Outside of God is defeat. Moab, let me say that again. In God is only victory. Outside of God is defeat. That's our choice. Amen. That is our choice. They live in the world's fields or the field of personal circumstances. They do not live in God. If, there's that word again, if such a condition, if your life is hid with Christ in God, you will discover that there is no defeat in God. Now, why are Christians defeated? Because their life is not hid in God. Why do Christians, this defeat, that defeat, and they, never have anything good to say, stuff like that? Because they really do not believe that their life is hid in God, because their life is in the world. Their life is consumed with all of these things in the world, and this problem and that problem and this and that and this TV program and this computer. And, I mean, all of this stuff. You know, the older I get, the more I see I need to come out of the world. Let me say that again. The older I get, the more I see I need to come out of the world. And I need to lose the love that's in me for the things of the world. Now, I don't care who you are, you like some things of this world. Matter of fact, you will go as far as even love some of these things in this world. And either your life is hid in Christ or it's not. Either your life is hid in Christ. And I will tell you, the more of the love for the things of this world you have just shows you that your life is not hid in Christ. And if our life is really hid in Christ, where there's going to be only victory and not defeat, then we must come out of this world. John 2:15 says, love not this world, nor the things in the world. Again, the older I get, the more. I mean, you know, I'm just amazed, you know, how God just kind of opens up my understanding and shows me things that I really, really love of this world. And I can't love this world, nor can I love God at the same time. You can't love the world, and you can't love God at the same time. You can only love one or the other. Jesus says, can good and evil come out of the same fountain? No. Either we love God, or we love the world. Amen? Yes. Wow. This next one, I'm glad you're setting down. Fear and distress causes defeat in Moab. So why are Christians? Why are Christians? Wow. Defeated. I mean, you know, it's amazing. I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. You know, God's resurrection power and all of these verses. But they're fearful and they are distressed. Wait a minute, you're a Christian. How can you be a Christian and be fearful and be distressed? Numbers 22:3 says, and Moab sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. This is more than a suggestion. It represents a type of fear and dread which should not be part of the Christian's life. Let me say that again. Fear and dread should never, ever, be a part of the Christian's life. This is not the believer's possession. Fear and dread is the possession for somebody in Moab. But that's not for us. Christians are not to dwell in the land of Moab. There is no fear and dread to be in a Christian's life at all. King David said, I will fear no evil. But so many Christians are fearful. They're just so fearful. And there's dread. This is going to happen, and that's going to happen. outside of God is fear and distress. Let me say that again. Outside of God is fear and distress. If your life is hidden in God, then there's no fear in your life. And there should be no distress in your life. Outside of God is fear and distress. And how many people, how many Christians have fear? I hear them. They talk about anxiety. They have panic attacks. They're afraid something is going to happen that usually doesn't happen. You know, that's the way that usually works. You know, the things that we're always afraid of and the things that we know that's going to happen, they usually don't happen at all. And we spend all that time being fearful, filled with anxiety, panic attacks. That is not what God wants for His children. A believer's life in God should reflect his faith in God's power and care. Boy, I like that so much, I'm going to say it again. A believer's life in God should reflect his faith in God's power and care. Some believers live a fearful life. A fearful life. This is unbelief. Furthermore, there is no vision in the soul. God's loving care cannot be seen. And that is why you're afraid. That's why so many Christians are afraid, because they cannot see God's loving care. Wow. Why? Because they're in the world. But now they believe Jesus died for their sins, and if they die, they would go to heaven. But they are fearful. They have all of these anxieties, and they're afraid this is going to happen. And that is because they cannot see God's loving care. Amen? Instead, enemies and adversaries and situations are seen. They are the focal point of some Christian's life. Well, God's supposed to be our focal point. Amen? But unfortunately, these things that usually never manifest is the focal point for some Christians. Come out of Moab and be healed. Amen? Come out of Moab and be healed. Come out of Moab for your peace and for your strength. The aspects of Moab should not be found in the believer's life. The aspects of all these things that we find in Moab should not be in the believer's life. Christians should never, ever be on medications for fear and dread. Let me say that again. Christians should never, ever be on medications for fear and dread and anxiety and panic attacks and all this good stuff. Because our focus should be in God. And if our life is hidden in God, well, then, God is going to take care of us. But we don't really believe that, so we get over and we take this medicine and we take Zoloft and we take this or we take this medicine to go ahead and take care of our fears, while we're claiming that we're blood-bought and we're walking with God and powerful, and, well, that's just not the truth. Amen? Some parting thoughts. How can one come out of Moab? The very fact that Christian is in Moab indicates a lack of complete and unconditional surrender to God. Oh, boy, that's powerful. If you are fearful, if you have these anxieties, and you have all of these things, and even if you're on medicine, that is a sign of a lack of complete and unconditional surrender to God. There's things. So you'll let God do this, and you'll let God do that, but I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to do this. It is just a lack of unconditional surrender to God. One's own will and desires are followed and catered to. Thus, to come out of Moab requires a reversal of the detrimental, trend. Amen? It takes a complete and unconditional surrender to God for us to come out of these situations. Amen? The more of a surrender to God, the more we will come out of Moab. The more we surrender to God, the more we'll be able to walk in a way that our life reflects that we are hidden in Christ. The more we believe, the more we receive. Amen? I know that sounds pretty, tongue in cheek, but it's true. the more we believe, the more we receive. When I go to Romania, one of the messages I'm going to be speaking is I'm going to be talking about sin. You know, we don't hear a lot on sin anymore. But you know why sin controls our bodies, and you know Paul tells us that sin is not to control our mortal bodies. Well, most people whose sin controls their thoughts and their bodies because they really don't believe that their sins are forgiven. Because the more that we believe that our sins are forgiven, the less sin will have dominion over us. And it's the same thing here. The more we believe that we're hidden in Christ, the more, you know, we, you know, focus in on the Lord, then the more we will receive of His nature and His character, and the more that we will come out of Moab. Amen?
Yeah.
How does one suddenly reverse patterns following for years? He doesn't. Wow. He doesn't. The solution is to continually and habitually bring oneself into a helpless and dependency before God. So how do we come out of, you know, wrong thinking? And how do we come out of these things in our life that's controlling our life that is not of God? You know, we always want to pray, oh God, you know, get out your magic wand and pop me on the head and make me new and all that. Well, you know, and then we don't understand why He doesn't do that. Well, God doesn't do that. That's not the way that He operates. The way He operates is for us to continually and habitually bring ourselves in a helpless and a dependency before God. The solution is to continually and habitually read the Bible with a desire to be conformed to it. The solution is to continually and habitually spend time in prayer. The solution is to go ahead and allow God to work in your life and be conformed into what you read, be conformed into what you pray, and to be conformed into the character and the image and the nature of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, there is no magic bullet to reverse bad habits. There is no magic bullet to reverse bad habits and ungodly patterns of living. There's no magic bullets. Only recognize where we are and repent, which means about face, and ask God to strengthen us, to conform us into the character and image of His dear Son. There's no magic bullet. So many Christians think there's magic, and God's going to do all, and when it doesn't happen, they're at a loss. Well, I tell you why it doesn't happen, because there is no magic bullet. The magic bullet happens when we go ahead and we spend time with God and we allow His Word and His Spirit to change our life, to change our heart. And that's the only thing that can change our heart. We can't change ourselves. No one can change us. The only thing that can change us is the Spirit of God. And that happens when we come before Him in utter helplessness and undependency. And ask God, oh God, help me, change my heart. And as we do that habitually, then God will change us, and then we'll be able to be conformed into the image and the character of His dear Son. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God. Father, Lord God, help us, Father, Lord. Strengthen us with might in the inward man, Father. And if we're in Moab, Father, Lord, if those that are listening to this recording right now, Father, Lord, that they find themselves in Moab, they're in fear and they're in dread and they're in anxiety and all of these things, Father, Lord God. Lord, I ask You, Father, Lord God, just to speak peace to their heart, Father, Lord God. And Lord, let them get into Your Word, Father, Lord, and let Your presence, Father, Lord God, fill their life, Father. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. For we can't do it, Father, Lord, but You can do it, Father, Lord God. You can do it, Father, Lord God, but You can do it as we reach into You, Father, Lord. And we just love You and we thank You, Father, for Your Word. Lord, we love You and we just thank You, Father, Lord. Just bless this Word to our heart, Father, Lord God. And help us, Father, Lord God, never to be in Moab, Father. Mm-hmm. And if we're there, Father, Lord God, help us, Father, strengthen us so that we can get out, Father, Lord God. and do those things that you want us to do, Father Lord. That blind obedience, Father Lord, that you speak and we move, Father Lord God. You speak and we move, Father Lord God. And we don't think about it, we don't. Why? We just, Lord, you speak and we just move, Father Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father Lord. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.